Hey, my name is Alina. Welcome to the Unravel podcast.
And my name is Nina.
And I know you had a story you've been like dying to tell me this week, and now we're finally getting together. Talk to me about it.
This is a story of unprofessional agents.
Okay. Talk to me about it. Let me hear it.
I don't know what it is, but this week I'm telling you, it's been one thing after another. Okay. So this story specifically, this agent, so I have a listing in Colbert. And this agent reached out to me a week prior to the showing to schedule it. That's great. They asked for the compensation agreement. You know, all the things you're supposed to do. No problem. Excellent. Get it scheduled with the seller. So this seller has kids. They've got a little kid who doesn't sleep well at night. So they need notice in order to get out of the house. They not only... you know, they want to make sure the house is tidy and clean. You know, when you have kids, it's always hard to go in and out of the house. And so the showing was scheduled for a certain time in the morning. They didn't show up on time. They weren't 5 minutes late. They weren't 10 minutes late. They were 1 hour late. Do you think they called me? Do you think they texted me? No. Okay. So the seller had left for the showing for 45 minutes, which is a good amount of time. Came back home. No, they hadn't arrived yet. Oh. They were a full hour late.
So he didn't even know that they didn't come during the first hour until they came.
No, nobody knew. Home. Yeah, nobody knew. So, you know.
Goodness gracious. That's very inconsiderate.
Extremely. But then here's the thing, though. The agent could have easily called or texted me. And I could have given the seller a heads up. But no, they didn't do that. Mm-hmm. The next story.
So did the seller make them rebook their appointment or?
No, the seller was nice enough to let them come. I feel so bad for the seller because they've been the recipient of so many of these unprofessional agents that one agent didn't schedule a showing.
Just showed up.
Claimed that he had a showing. He did not. I have screenshots, okay, of all the showings that were requested. Don't even try to lie, okay?
Wow.
And then it's opening the door. We're trying to open the door. And then gets upset at the seller. Excuse me? This is private property. You do not have a showing request.
That is wild.
The same seller. Okay, this is why I'm like, I'm going to give them the best closing gift, I'm telling you. Another time, an agent shows up. No showing request either. Request to show when they're on site. Oh, I used to work with Nina. And I used to work with a lot of people.
That has nothing to do with people the fact all the time. That you didn't make an appointment.
It's just, you know, if the house is vacant, that's, you know, so all this behavior is as if the house was vacant. When the instructions clearly say there's restricted hours, we need notice, they just... either disregarded the instructions or didn't read them. Mm-hmm. I don't know which is worse, to be honest with you. And then another listing, all in the same week. They schedule a showing. This couple has a newborn baby. A couple weeks old, okay? A few weeks old. Same thing. It's a big ordeal to leave the house for showings.
Right.
We get it scheduled. It's a weekend. They get out of the house. I guess the agent shows up, could not figure out the lockbox. Mm-hmm. Do you think they called or texted me?
No, what'd they do?
No. They just fiddled with the lockbox for a few minutes and left.
Didn't even show it?
No. So the seller, of course, understandably is upset that they got up early on a weekend, got the baby ready, got the house ready, only for the agent to try for 2 to 3 minutes to get the lockbox open, and then nothing.
What a disservice to the customer. I could only imagine what the customer was thinking.
I have not a clue.
That is so odd.
But I'm here to tell agents, schedule showings. If you can't get into the lockbox, call or text, okay? And if you decide to show up to someone's listing without a showing request, go home.
I think the first one's definitely common sense for most people, but common's not so common sometimes, but you know.
I'm ranting, but it's just been a week.
A few weeks ago, I had an instance happen where Atlanta agents are different. Atlanta agents are different. It's a different breed in Atlanta. And I do a lot of business there. And in maybe 9 out of the 10 agents I've worked with up there are terrible. Terrible. Yeah. So that means really out of one out of the 10. What I'm trying to say is one out of the 10 agents I've worked with out there are phenomenal. And thankfully, yeah. The house that my client went under contract on recently, the agent has been absolutely stellar. Like, best agent I've worked with in Atlanta, to be honest. Mm. And so here's the situation. Every house, because of this new regulation, I'm having to text every single agent, what's the commission? Can I show the property? Like, a bunch of different questions. Can you send me the pre-showing documentation? Blah, 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 blah. It is pulling teeth. Yeah. To get agents to respond.
Oh, yeah.
In Atlanta. And I think you deal with most of them end up being part-time agents. So they probably have a full-time job. They're working, whatever. You'll call them. No answer. They may text you back sometimes, but they don't answer the phone.
Maybe.
They barely text you back. It's pulling teeth to get information out of them. Finally, we get ready to make an offer on a home. I text the agent multiple times. I'm blowing up this woman's phone. I probably am texting her 2 to 3 times. I probably texted her I posted her at least once every 2 hours. No response. No response. This is from Friday to Sunday. Trying mm-hmm. to make an offer on her listing. Wow. I get no response. And then my client's like, I don't have time to wait for her to respond because she was trying to decide between two other houses. So mm-hmm. we made an offer on another house. Actually, no, hold on, back up. We made it. I went ahead and emailed the agent an offer for her listing. We didn't hear back. We still made another offer on another house, so we didn't lose the other house. Other house, they accepted our offer a lot quicker. They signed the paperwork, sent it over to us. We were binding on that house. My client still wanted the other house more, so we waited to hear back from the agent. Mm-hmm. She emails me back Tuesday. I was reaching out to her from Friday to Sunday, texting her almost every single hour. And she was like, oh, I'm sorry, I was on vacation. Okay, why are you on vacation when you have a real estate property for sale without anyone to be able to contact you? Like, you should have put somebody in place. You should have asked an agent to fill in for you. Anything. You were entirely unreachable. And this house had been on the market for over 60 days.
Wow.
That listing time. It was previously listed before mm-hmm. for longer with the same agent. So it was just a brand new listing that mm-hmm. just refreshed. So you've had this listing for over 6 months. And you could have got a really good offer on your home over asking, but because you weren't available, you lost mm-hmm. the opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
And your delayed response, because of your delayed response, you lost the opportunity. So my client was like, I'm already under contract on this other home, and I'm not going to lose it because this other agent. And even when she did respond to us, we were still willing to work out the deal and terminate the other house, but it was taking her forever to get back to us on certain things, and our due diligence period was running out on the other home. So we didn't have the time to spare and wait for her to get back to us. That's why it's so important to choose the right agent. Her client will probably never know the hell that I went through to try to reach her to get an offer in. Her client will probably never know. Yeah. That's why it's so important to hire the right agent who communicates well and is responsive. And you can tell a lot of this in the beginning, especially if you know them, or if you don't know them, if they're not responsive when you're even just trying to get an appointment with them, that should show you alone. They're probably not going to be responsive throughout the entire transaction.
Yeah. You know, it's so crazy. The story you just told me reminded me of, there was a new construction home out in Madison County, kind of like way out there. It was an Atlanta agent, of course. Mm. Tried to schedule a showing.
No response.
No response. Called multiple times. No response. Oh. Texted. No response. Emailed. No mm-hmm. response. The house had been on the market for an age and a half. Okay. Price was reasonable for new construction. So I was like, I wonder why it's not selling. Well, now I know. Mm-hmm. Not only that, it was only listed in FMLS.
Oh, not Athens MLS, not Georgia MLS. No. The two most prominent MLSs in our area.
Yeah. I mean, some people use FMLS, but really, I would say probably less than 10%. Mm-hmm. You know,
in our market, at least, yeah. For sure. And definitely in the rural country like Madison. Madison, no. Georgia or Madison?
No, Madison County. But yeah. It wasn't like...
No one's using FMLS over
there. It wasn't like Hull. Madison County. It was like
Madison.
finally, I get a text back saying, sorry, I was at my job. And then the code. Didn't verify that I'm an agent. I mean, I am an agent, okay.
Oh
but
my gosh.
Didn't verify.
But imagine it being some homeless person that's pretending to be an agent that just wants to live in the house, and you just gave him the code and access to your client's home. No. It's crazy. It's crazy out here.
It's
And then some sellers wonder why their home's sitting on the market and it's not selling. It's because their agent isn't communicating with other agents. And that can be one of the very vital reasons why a home isn't selling.
Yeah. And okay, I'm not here to say that people shouldn't have multiple jobs. I get that. But
real estate probably isn't for you if that's the case.
In order to really serve your client correctly, you need to be full-time or you need to be partnering with another person to where you can balance out and receive that communication.
Agreed.
Or represent buyers and not sellers. Because if you have listings that are active and there's people trying to send you offers, trying to schedule showings, and you're unresponsive, you don't know how to use a freaking lockbox, you don't know how to call or text, go back to school. Mm-hmm. Please let the professionals handle it. Mm-hmm. I'm in a mood, you guys, but it's just, it's been too much.
Yeah, I agree. And honestly, like as an agent who's, I think the relationship that we have as agents amongst each other is very important as well, because it determines what we advise our clients on when we get an offer from you. And if I've seen you before, if I've done a transaction with you before, and I know you bring terrible buyers who like to terminate, and I know you don't know how to advise your buyers properly, and you bring terrible buyers, and you don't communicate, I'm going to tell my client, hey, this offer may seem great, but they're probably going to terminate in the week. This agent has brought me multiple offers that terminates, and they don't communicate at all. So we're on our own. We're SOL here. Over another offer, then that's going to affect your client, because I know how you are in a transaction. And if I've seen you've displayed these characteristics time after time again, I'm not going to advise my client to take your offer, especially if there's multiple offers on the table. Or I'm going to advise my client to be, hey, be aware, this is what's probably going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, I cannot tell you how many times where we receive multiple offers on properties and some of them are agents that don't know. So it's just like a 50-50 chance. Some are agents I do know, and it's gone terribly. And then there's agents who I've worked with multiple times. They're excellent. They're ethical. Stellar. We always close. Easy as pie. Mm-hmm. I'm not telling my client which offer to take, but I am telling my client, because they'll always ask me, do you know the agent?
Right.
And I'm going to tell them exactly what I know and what I don't know. Mm-hmm. And let them decide. So it really does matter.
It's funny, some buyers and sellers think that having a relationship with other agents are detrimental to them in terms of like there's, what's the word I'm looking for?
Competition?
Not competition, but like you're working together against them. But honestly, like I feel like the relationships you have with other agents actually benefit your client more. Rather, you're a buyer looking for a home to buy because I may be able to get an off-market listing from another agent or that agent we may have a great relationship that they may take your offer over another one or work with their client a little harder to get the deal done versus a seller. We know other agents well enough to be able to say, to know if they're going to bring a solid offer or not, if this is a good buyer, all these kind of things, because I've worked with you time and time again to know that you are ethical, you're going to bring a good offer, you're going to do your part in this transaction. Because you can easily get a home, an agent can get a home under contract, but if you can't close the deal, then what's the point? Because it takes, there's a lot of things that can go wrong between the time you go under contract to the time of closing, and that all has to do with a part of it has to do with the agent and how they advise their clients. In the beginning of my career, I didn't know how to properly advise my clients on home inspections. And I lost a lot of deals because I didn't know how to do that.
Yeah.
And now that I do, I've been able to save deals, negotiate certain things, and advise my clients properly versus being that agent, 7 years ago who didn't know how to, and I was losing deals because of it.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing too, to be honest with you, is really good agents will also have their vendors that are also consistent and excellent also. So they're inspectors, they're lenders. So anytime you get that offer from a great professional agent, it's like the whole team is on board. You already know who the lender is going to be. You already know who the closing attorney is going to be.
Correct.
You already know that it's locked and loaded.
And you can tell your client, hey, this is a solid deal. I know these people. I've worked with this lender before. I know this attorney. There's not going to be any hiccups in this transaction. It's very, very slim.
And I always tell my clients, technically in real estate, there's always a chance. Nothing closes until it closes. Mm-hmm. Somebody could die. Somebody could change their mind. But we want to pick the offer that has the least likelihood of falling through. And so the reputation of the agents, their vendors, and how they write offers
matters.
Is premium.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. That's my rant for the day.
Hey, I certainly get it. I think we definitely deal with bad eggs all the time in this. I feel like anyone probably deals with bad eggs in any industry in general. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important to talk about it, bring awareness to it as agents.
I'm going
to
call it the real estate icks.
Okay. Hey, that's a good one. That's a good one.
And I thought of one more as you were talking. When an agent texts you that they're sending you an offer and they never send you an offer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. Like, that's a real good one.
Like, are you confused? Are you just lying? Like, what's going on? Don't tell me you're going to send me an offer. Just send me an offer.
Yeah, then I've got my client's hopes up. And then I like to be aware when you're sending me an offer, because that way I hate when agents just send me an offer and they don't tell me they're sending me an offer.
No. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where an agent's like making you do all this work and hyping it up, and then they ghost you and never send you an offer.
Yeah, there's that too.
If an agent's going to write me an offer, I love when they call me. They say, what is the seller looking for? How can we work together? Yes. Chef's kiss, I'm telling you.
I know.
And then they call me and say, hey, I just sent you an offer. I'll tell you, the one time I was so impressed. This was an Atlanta agent. Mm-hmm. The only time I've been impressed.
Please change my mind.
Okay. I'm going to keep everyone anonymous still. But I had a listing here in Athens. It was a house in a country club. And there was a bunch of different showings. I got an offer from an agent and an email and a personalized video from this buyer's agent.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't just a generic video that they sent to everyone. It was a video specific to me. Said my name. They said my listing address. They said it was a pleasure to show the property. It was marketed excellently. I sat there just,
that is nice.
I watched it over. I'm gonna have to see that later.
I watched it over and over
again. I thought, oh my God. Do you think they got the offer?
100%.
They got the offer. We closed seamlessly.
I love that.
I will never
talk about stellar professionalism and representation.
So it was a guy.
Oh, okay. I would have never expected.
He was, of course, gay.
Oh.
Premium. Okay. But I'm telling you, it makes a difference.
It does.
The level of customer service and care, agent to agent, it really matters.
I agree. I certainly agree.
So.
Well, at least we got to vent about the headaches we've had this week.
Thank you for listening to our vent session this week.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. You can listen to us wherever you listen to podcasts and follow us on social media and watch us on YouTube. Thanks for listening and watching.